Let me be the first one. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas? How are you doing with your shopping? Have you started yet? Are you anybody all done? I'm all done. Presents all wrapped? Tree up? Christmas is a special time. It's a unique time of the year. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we do. But the whole world is affected by Christmas. Have you noticed any commercials different? Any Christmas programs? The world takes more notice of Christmas sometimes than Christians do. What I'd like to talk to you this morning about the Christmas shepherds. In the Old Testament, shepherds were a noble, honored profession. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. In fact, all the early church leaders were shepherds, and they were very wealthy. Job was wealthy. Job had 14,000 sheep. Whew. Solomon had 120,000 sheep. And that determined your wealth. So these men were very wealthy because of the number of sheep that they had. Why were sheep so valuable back in the Old Testament and in the Bible times? Well, they were a sign of wealth. You got your clothing from the wool, and they were used for sacrifices. King David started out as a shepherd. Last Sunday when I preached, we said the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." New Testament, Jesus is our good shepherd. He went out. We are so important to him. It says that there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep. One was missing, and he spent time looking for that one sheep. Let me see. How did he know there was one missing? Let's see. Somebody missing today? One person is missing today. 99. He knows us so well that if one of us are missing, he knows it. Because every one of us are very precious to him, because he is a good shepherd. What are some of the responsibilities of sheep? I'm going to read you off some of the responsibilities that a shepherd has. But don't think about the sheep. Think about your life. Because Jesus is our good shepherd, and we are his sheep. So see if you can relate to some of these areas of shepherding. The shepherd keeps us from wandering off. Sheep have a tendency to get lost very easily. They can walk 10 feet away and not find their way home. So one thing that a shepherd does, keeps us from wandering off. Do you ever need that as a Christian? Bring me back, guide me. Another one, he protects us from the thieves. Satan would love to rob us, and he protects us. Shepherd does, the sheep. He keeps the sheep from getting injured. He feeds the sheep. Anybody hungry? I look forward to Sunday school because I get over there fast because it's chocolate donuts. The good shepherd, the sheep are very dumb. What they'll do is they'll graze in an area and they'll eat the dirt down to the dirt and they won't wander 5 feet away where there's green pastures. So he feeds us. Jesus is our good shepherd. Now the scripture lesson today is in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 20 if you have your Bibles. Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Shepherd's duty is 24/7, never gets a day off, never gets any time off. So it was the middle of the night, they were out taking care of their sheep. Suddenly, did anything ever happen to you suddenly? You ever sit in church? Wow. It's amazing. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. When you walked into church today, do you say, "Ah, oh, what a beautiful place it is"? They were terribly frightened, but the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." I like this version here. It says, "The baby Jesus wrapped snugly." You ever notice how tightly they wrap babies, newborn babies? They can't even breathe. "But wrapped snugly in stripes or strips of cloth." Let's jump ahead to Easter. Do you remember when Peter, James, and John got to the tomb and they looked in the tomb? What did they see laying where Jesus had been? Strips of cloth. You see the parallel between the two? Jesus was born to die. He was wrapped in actually grave cloth as a baby. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, an army of heaven praising God. There must have been some choir. Must have been like the choir in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Here's what they sang: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened." Now, they were responsible for the sheep. There was nobody else left to guard them, and they wanted to see Jesus more than protect their sheep. Verse 16, they ran to the village. When was the last time you ran? Has any run? We go out in the parking lot and see how you run. They were so excited about this, it says they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Then the shepherds told everyone. Have you told anybody yet today? Anybody going out to eat? Don't want to admit it? We should tell everyone. This is a great time of year to wish people Merry Christmas. I wish every cashier, every waitress, every neighbor that you see, wish them a Merry Christmas. You never know what is going to open up. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angel had told them, and because they had seen the child just as the angel had said. There are many different translations of the Bible. Martin Luther translated the entire Bible from Hebrew and Latin into German, but he had trouble with one term. He had no German equivalent for the term gospel. When he came across the word in the original manuscripts and the word gospel was there, he said there was no equivalent German word. So he came up with the word good news. That's where we get it from. The German term for good news is Nachrichte. I know that doesn't mean much to you, but I'll throw that out at you. So there are many English translations, but there's certainly beauty. How many of you, when you were a kid, learned it in the King James? How many remember the King James? How many have a King James with them today? Today. Well, I think there's a certain beauty in the King James, certain words that are no longer used but have a beauty to them. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the time had fully come," He's never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. He's just in the nick of time. when the time had fully come. Luke 20, another word that is in the King James that we don't use anymore. Angel said to the shepherds, behold. When's the last time you used the word behold? What it means, behold, means pay attention. Are you listening to me? Sound like you can practice it on your teenage. You have a teenage son. When you want them to do something, say to them, behold. You're going to get their attention, and then you can speak to them. Behold, pay attention. Are you listening to me? I have something really important to say. So that's a word that's in the King James that I like. And another place it says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. When was the last time you used the word shone? Have you noticed the new halogen lights on cars today, how much brighter they are? Well, they don't compare to the brilliance when God appears. Have you ever been to a church service when, behold, the brilliance of the Lord appeared? The shepherds could handle any type of emergency, but this was beyond their ability to experience. Now, I have a question for you. Why were these uneducated shepherds chosen to be the first visitors to worship the King of Kings? How come he chose these guys? Wouldn't it have been more effective if he chose some high priest or someone of influence? It seems like others would have been more effective in getting the word out. But the Lord works in strange and mysterious ways. The last few weeks I've mentioned Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist in the 1870s. And you know why the Lord chose him? He was a teenager selling shoes in Boston. Why did the Lord choose him? Or did you ever hear of Billy Sunday? He was a pro baseball player. He was a gruff guy. The Lord chose him to spread the gospel. The Nazarene, Uncle Buddy Robinson. Why did the Lord choose him? He stuttered, and the Lord chose him. And of course, Billy Graham grew up on a dairy farm. And then the Lord chose three uneducated fishermen, Peter, James, and John. And he also chose you. But why did he choose these people? What was there unique about these shepherds and others? They said yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way with my whole heart. There's a chorus that goes, I'll say yes. Anybody know it? How does that go? I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way. I'll say yes. Help me out. I will trust you and obey. With my whole heart, I'll agree. I'll say yes. I don't think that's in the hymnal. But that's why they chose Billy Sunday, why he chose Dwight L. Moody, why he chooses you. Did he choose you? Because you'll say yes to his will and to his way. I believe the first evangelists were shepherds. And I believe today Christmas shepherds are right here in this sanctuary. Every cashier you see this week, this month, every waitress, every neighbor, everyone you encounter, wish them a Merry Christmas. The shepherds were on the lowest social rung of society, yet the Lord describes himself as a shepherd. Who is a good shepherd? Jesus is a good shepherd. Who are the sheep? We are the sheep. So Jesus is our good shepherd. What makes this job so negatively looked upon? The sheep, and who are the sheep? We humans closely follow the life habits of the sheep. Sheep are nervous, weak, foolish, and most importantly, totally dependent upon the shepherd. Let me read that again. I'm describing you, just what you want me to do, right? So good. You agree you're the sheep of Jesus? Jesus is your shepherd, so you're his sheep? Here's what that means. Sheep are nervous, weak, foolish, and most important, totally dependent on their shepherd. Under the wrong shepherd, the sheep struggle and starve. Under the wrong shepherd, the sheep struggle and starve. Under the right shepherd, they thrive and multiply. Under the wrong shepherd, we struggle and stumble. Under the right shepherd, we thrive and multiply. Is Jesus your chief shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. One of the most profound wonders, Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd, but he's also the sacrificial lamb. How can he be both? He's a good shepherd, and he's a sacrificial lamb. I don't know how he does that. He laid down his life for his sheep. Take out your hymn. I like to sing a hymn in closing. 578, Shepherd, like a Savior, lead me. 578, before we sing it, I'd like to read something to you. Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us for our use. Thy fold prepared. I feel disjointed this morning. But maybe it's because the Holy Spirit wants to move and be in control. And as we sing, we're going to sing all four verses of this hymn. And if you just want to pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, be tender and sensitive. I'm going to ask you to stand. It's easy for me to ask you to stand. I'm glad I'm standing already. We'll sing all four verses. If you want to come and pray this morning for Christmas, for Van, for Fred, for any of your personal requests, just be tender and open. Sing this as your hymn of praise and thankfulness to the Lord.